Good morning. There we go.
We're on. Welcome to the fellowship again this morning. And I was listening to that song and thinking about the words of that song, Lord of Heaven and Earth. And I thought, I wonder, do we really, really embrace that? We think of God as a God of heaven. Do we embrace the fact that He is God of the earth as well? He is God here. He is God there. He is God everywhere. It doesn't matter where, He is God. Amen? Hallelujah. My thoughts were led this morning to share, and somewhat in light of last Sunday's one anothering. One of the things in one anothering is that we are to forgive one another. And I thought about the story of Joseph, and I hope that we're not tired of the story of Joseph, but we're going to look at it a little bit again this morning because I think it is probably one of the most intriguing persons within the Bible that has demonstrated the ability to forgive in some really ridiculous things that happened to him. And so we're just going to take a bit of time and look through it. And you can turn with me to Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. And I want to say right up front that I know that we all go through difficult times in life. We all go through times where we wonder, what in the world is God doing? What is going on? Have you ever driven down the road and as all of a sudden somebody, they're angry at you. You don't even know what you did. I believe sometimes it's in the spiritual realm. You ever walk into a store or somebody looks at you angrily and it's like, what did I do? And I believe it's in the spiritual realm. So we all go through difficult times. We all go through times where we wonder, what in the world is God doing? And so the title of the message this morning is God Meant It for Good. God meant it for good. And I hope and pray this morning that I will be able to lead you to a place of better understanding or a place of, let me back up a step. I want the Holy Spirit to lead you to and me to a better place of understanding that God meant it for good. No matter what happened. Forget what happened. Okay, you can't forget what happened, but God meant it for good. That's the thing that I would like us to grasp and get a hold of this morning. As we think about the times we're living in and the different things that are going on, and this, I know that this applies to you in some way or another, and it applies to different people in different ways. So this morning, it's my desire that you will hear the Spirit of God speak this morning, because it is my desire to rightly divide the word of truth. And I want to make a promise to you again this morning, that when I open the scriptures to study, to preach, it is my heart's desire, the biggest burden that I feel is that I quote and I share and I preach the gospel the way it's written. Because I know that I'm a man and I know that I don't have it all together, but I want to do the best that I can with what God gave me. So that's my promise to you this morning, that I will do my best to share it. You do your part to hear it. That's where you come and play. Okay, reading Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 18. Let's go there. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying," and I'm going to stop there just for a moment. I thought how, as I was reading that scripture, I thought how like, you know, your children are playing and one of them comes running to you and says that the other so-and-so is hurting their brother, okay? And they come to you and they tattle and you say, well, you go back and you tell them not to hurt them, okay? It's a little bit what it looks like. I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying," and you know, kind of like, you got to be careful how you're going to respond. They're already suspicious of how Joseph might respond to them when their father's not around, because they knew that Joseph had a high respect for their father. And so they were concerned that all the stuff that they did to him, Joseph might now take the opportunity to get revenge. But I love what Jacob or Israel instructed the brothers to do when this time would come. In verse 17, it says, "Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And I, again, recognizing again that the opportunity that Joseph had was incredible. As I think about, first of all, let me just talk a little bit about when you're guilty. So we have the brothers, and this is their time when Jacob dies, and they're guilty. They did sin against Joseph. There is no question about it, and they're guilty. And I had to think about how a guilty person oftentimes is not a trustworthy person. So what were their motives? What were they trying to accomplish? Just save their own skin? It almost appears that way from the beginning. But then we see in verse 18 where they fall down on their faces and they genuinely ask for forgiveness. And I thought about how I got into this habit at our dinner table or lunch or whatever when the grandchildren are there. And it's a bad thing, okay? And it makes me untrustworthy in what I do. So I would and things were noisy and they're talking and fussing and carrying on. And I would say, shh, shh, listen. And they jump 2 inches off the chair. It was fun, okay? But the other day I heard a bird outside that I wanted them to listen to. And I said, shh, shh, listen. And one of the little ones went. I became untrustworthy in my actions, okay? So I wasn't trustworthy anymore. And I wondered, as I thought about this scripture, and I thought about how that in the process of time, how Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt and then became a ruler of Egypt. He is now the ruler of Egypt. What stopped Joseph from going after his brothers and getting revenge on them? What stopped him at that point when he was in that power, in that position? What stopped him from going after them and getting revenge? And I think we'll find that in the next section of scriptures when we get there. He didn't send someone to correct them. He didn't send someone after them. It's not that we know of anyway. He didn't go after them. He had the perfect opportunity. And my conclusion is it is a fleshly desire to seek retribution for a wrong against us. Stop and think about that. It is a fleshly desire to seek retribution for a wrong done against us. I am going to make them pay. It is wrong. It is a godly desire to go to the offender, according to Matthew 18, to go to the offender and to tell them their sin against you with a desire to have them restored to a right relationship with God. It is a godly desire to go to them and share their sin against you to have them restored to a right relationship with God. Whenever I get in the way, then I am not able to get to the place where David or where Joseph got to, where he said, you meant it for evil and God meant it for good. You can't get to the God meant it for good if you're going to carry out the revenge or the get even or the make them pay. You will never get there. So the question is, how will you respond to what happens to you? How will you respond to what happened? How will you respond? And many times, face it, when you think about one another, when you think about the body of Christ, when you think about your family, there is always things that happen where we need to forgive each other, right? Always. We would like to be perfect and say, no, Karen and I, we get along with each other so well that we never have to say we're sorry to each other. I'm 50, sorry, I want to be careful here. I'm 57 years old. And I'm still learning to do that, okay? I'm still learning that I have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that was unkind. And I will do everything I can to help you. And again, demanding forgiveness, I think sometimes is somewhat fleshly in itself, but that's another subject. So how will you respond? Will you turn bitter and seek revenge? Or will you believe that God was with you all the way? Will you turn bitter and seek revenge? Or will you believe that God was with you all the way through what happened to you? And we all have our story. We're all sitting here now, and we can all think of things that have happened to us. And I want to ask you, was God in it or wasn't he? And I think we'll find that throughout this message, throughout the happenings of Joseph's life, it assures us that God is in every aspect of what is happening in your life. He is there. He doesn't create it, but he allows it in times. We'll get there. I had to think about when I got out of school, I started working at a feed mill, and I started delivering feed. And of course, at the bottom level, you start with the bag truck where you had, I had like a 2-ton or 3-ton truck, whatever it was, with the dualies, wheels in the back. So kind of a pickup thing, not real big truck, not real high, okay? This is important for the story. So I went to deliver feed one day to a gentleman over here on Peters Road, and I went into the barnyard. I drove around the back of the barn, and there was a shed there where he wanted us to put the feed in. I backed the truck into the shed, and I shut the truck off. Here comes his dog walking into the shed. This dog is a Great Dane. I mean, I can look out the window of the truck where I'm sitting in. I say, hey, how you doing? And he goes, rrr. That was how he was doing. And so I crawled out the window and went up over the top, and I backed up to a spot where I could take the bags and drop them right off the back without getting off the truck, because he just prowled around the truck there while I was there. And eventually the owner came out, and I talked to him. And he said, he is the perfect, most reasonable dog. Anybody can get along with him except a truck driver. And he said, the reason being, the milkman used to come, and he'd pick on him, and he'd fight that dog until every truck driver was bad. And I wanted nothing more than to step out of my truck and, you know, not have to bend down. And that's not a dog. This is a dog. You know, scratch his ears right here. I wanted to do that, but I couldn't, because he had a father wound. He had a wound of some kind that he was holding on to towards truck drivers, okay? So he couldn't be reasonable, because all truck drivers were bad. He couldn't sort out that they were all bad. And some of you might be sitting here this morning thinking, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I will never trust a policeman again. I will never trust a father again. I will never trust a mother again. I will never trust a pastor again. You know how often I've ran into that? Quite often. And it's unfortunate, and I'm sorry that there are people who have been wounded deeply by pastors. And I hope and pray that I don't do that to you. It's my desire. But not all pastors are bad. Not all fathers are bad. Not all mothers are bad because of your experience with that one. So will you, like the dog, carry the bitterness? Or will you believe that God was in it somehow and he was able to learn through it? How will you respond? Let's look how Joseph responds. In Genesis 50, 19 through 21, he says this, "And Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I am...'" I knew I read that wrong. Let me start over. "Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?'" Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? "But as for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them." When we are offended, we have one of two choices: forgive and find freedom, set the person free. We can forgive and find freedom, or we can grow bitter and seek revenge and make them pay. The way I see it, those are the only two choices we have. Because if we don't forgive, we get bitter. If we get bitter, we don't forgive. You see, it seems to me those are the only two choices that Scripture gives for us as God's people within whatever realm it is that you're in. where you may have experienced wrong. And you can never blame someone else for your choice. You can never blame someone else for your choice. Because I have the choice either to forgive or to get bitter. It's my choice. Always. Does God allow people to do evil things? The answer obviously is yes. Is evil brought against you ever out of God's control? The answer is obviously no. And so let's take a moment and let's think about that. Consider Job. How it was when Satan came to God, and they got together there, and Satan came, and God said, "Who are you, and where you come from?" And Satan said, "From going to and fro about the earth." And then God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And so this interaction, this dialogue between God and Satan happens, and where Satan says, "I've considered him, but you put a hedge of protection around him and all his stuff. If you remove that hedge of protection, he won't worship you. He won't be the person that you're saying he is." God said, "Okay, I'll remove the hedge." Was God involved in what happened? So then and I'm not going to say it right, the Sabaeans came and they destroyed the workers that were in the field and took their cattle and that kind of thing. And so there was evil people that were doing evil things against Job that God had allowed to happen. So the answer, is it evil brought against you ever out of God's control? Is it ever out of control? Do you believe for 1 minute that everything that happens? The other thing I want us to embrace this morning again is the providence of God, that he is involved in every aspect of our lives. See, God has given man the freedom of choice. And then God allows people to make choices. And people choose to do bad things. God has given man the freedom of choice. But what God also does is he allows things to come into our lives that we will seek him, that we will go after him, that we will search for him. Does God enjoy your affliction? Obviously not. Again, Lamentations 3, 20, 32 through 33 says this: "Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men." And I want you to understand this morning, if you are here and you feel like you're going through a time of affliction, through a time of a grieving, understand God does not allow that to happen willingly. There is a bigger cause. There is a bigger purpose. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, when bad people took Jesus and nailed him to the cross, there was a bigger purpose that was happening. God meant it for good. Here's the challenge. Jude 1:21 says this: "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourselves in the mercy of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can challenge me on this statement if you wish, but we cannot keep ourselves in the love of God if we do not embrace that God meant it for good and forgive those that do evil against us. We cannot keep ourselves in the love of God if we do not forgive. It will ruin your relationship with him. It will make your relationship bad with God if we do not forgive. And those are hard words. I know that. I know that there are people that have experienced deep, hurtful things that have been done to them. And I don't know how to reconcile the fact that the Bible very clearly calls us to be people who are willing to forgive one another. That's clear. That seems very clear. So let's take a brief look at Joseph's problems. We all know that Joseph's life was one made up of problems. And like I said this morning, we all have our problems. We all have our things that we go through. We all have our things that we experience in life where it's difficult, where there's a maybe as a child or a parent, or maybe as a church, a fellow man in church, or maybe it's at work. We all have those difficulties. We all have our problems, okay? And there's one of mine. This is Louis. And Louis loves to sit in the washbowl, okay? And he looks so, he purrs that almost the whole vanity will shake, you know, this, that. He's just so comfortable, and he looks like you could just reach down and pet him, right? Wrong. Again, I don't know what the wound is that he's carrying, but for some reason, he will lay there and purr, and he will bite you when you try to pet him, okay? Not always, but he has this here, this unique nature that he has to be in the right mood to accept you, but for some reason, he perceives that you're going to do bad to him when all you want to do is pet him and talk nice to him. But he perceives that you're going to do bad to him. That's what we do when we don't forgive. That's what we do when we don't forgive. We shut off the ability for God to move through other people in our lives to show grace to us, to show mercy to us. We cut it off when we have an unforgiving spirit or we have developed a bitter spirit. It's like everything is in suspicion. What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't pet me. What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? That's what an unforgiving spirit will develop in us. So let's look at Joseph's problems. And they're complex, okay? But they're somewhat of what we may have experienced. We didn't experience all that he did, but let's look at the first one, his dream. Remember the story of how Joseph had a dream and he shared it with his family and his brothers became bitter towards him. They became bitter towards him. Who do you think you are, you little upstart? You know, that we're going to bow down to you? Think again. So this here dream that he started with turns out to be a nightmare. As it turns out that his brothers, they continue to grow in this bitterness towards him. He has another dream and it goes on. And then after a while, they go out in the field. He takes them their food out in the field and comes to them. And we know the story how they plotted together to throw him in a pit. And later on, they were going to kill him. But then one of them decided that it would be better to sell him, make some money off of him. Has anyone here this morning ever been used to that extent by family? The things that Joseph must have felt when he was being taken away with that caravan going to Egypt and he saw his brothers in the rearview mirror and what they had done to him. And so Joseph goes on. He goes into Egypt, and we all know the story how he became popular there with Potiphar, and Potiphar made him a ruler of his house, and eventually Potiphar's wife started to have eyes for him and started to make advances on him. And we know the story how Joseph, even in his having been wounded, he couldn't use the excuse that he was wounded by his brothers, that's why he sinned. He didn't. When she grabbed a hold of his coat, what did he do? He fled. And I am calling to every young man this morning, if there is a situation like that, and I talk about pornography, I talk about whatever it might be, flee, because you cannot mess with it. You cannot mess with it. You cannot tempt God a little bit and get away with it. Joseph understood that, and he fled. How could I do this? And this was his words. How can I do this and sin against my God? And I ask you this morning, if you're in a place where you're tempted with sexual immorality of whatever kind, and yes, I include pornography in that. If you are tempted, it should not be, how can I do this and sin against my wife? It should not be, how can I do this and sin against my family or my church or my community? It should be, how can I do this and sin against my God? How can I do this and sin against my God? That was Joseph's position. And you know where it landed him? I mean, that is honorable. It is so extremely honorable for him to be able to do that. He wound up in a dungeon. He was put there. He was kept there. And I imagine that in the day and the time that they were living in, that prisons were not a nice place to be. They didn't have TV. They didn't have three meals a day. You know, they were there in a cold, damp dungeon. For 2 years, this happened. And I forget the time frame of when the butler and the baker came to him and they had these dreams and he interpreted their dreams and they went out and he said, when they went out, he said, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And they said, yeah, we'll remember you, you know. And then I think it was 2 years at that point after that he was forgotten in prison. A forgotten promise. It just seems like everything Joseph was doing at that point, everything went south. And I wonder how many of us would have been able to continue to give glory to God, would have continued to be able to say, God meant it for good, if we were experiencing that kind of thing in life. How many of us would have been able to say that? There's a story about some American soldiers. This is told by Chuck Swindoll. And this is some American soldiers who during the Korean War had rented a house and hired a Korean man to cook for them. This guy had an unbelievably great spirit about him. The Americans loved teasing him. They nailed his shoes to the floor. They put grease on the stove handles. They balanced buckets of water over the door. The Korean brushed it off and kept working with a smile, holding no grudges. Finally, the Americans were just ashamed of themselves and wanted him to know that they were going to stop all the practical jokes. The Korean said, "You mean no more nail shoes to floor? No more. You mean no more sticky on stove knobs? No more. You mean no more water buckets on door? No more. Okay then, me no more spit in soup." There may be some of us here this morning who feel like we have genuinely forgiven somebody, but we are more than willing to spit in their soup. Sobering. It is. If you have genuinely forgiven somebody to the extent that Joseph did, if you are willing to forgive somebody to the extent that Joseph did, you will not spit in their soup. I do not believe that Joseph spit in his brother's soup. He had found that God was in his life and working in his life. Even though it did not appear that way, even though it seemed like everything was going wrong, how could God possibly be in it? And again, I want to draw us to God's divine guidance and care. And Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." God works on behalf of his servants. And here's a quote from Augustine: "Trust the past to God's mercy, and the present to God's love, and the future to God's providence." Let me read it again. Trust the past to God's mercy, the present to God's love, and the future to God's providence. So let's go back and take a look again at Joseph's response. And I think it's so beautiful the way Joseph responded. And I want to draw our hearts to this type of action, to this type of response, to when there are people in our lives that we need to forgive, to draw us to this place. Look at verse 19. "And Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God?'" I ask you this morning, are you in the place of God? God said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." Are you in the place of God that you should draw them, that you should be the one that should make them pay, that they should have a bitter, wretched life because of what they did to me? "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And that was the place that Joseph came to when he said this. "For am I in the place of God?" He asked it as a question. Am I in the place of God? And he goes on. He says, I know that I live in an evil world, and it's done through this here. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But for you, you meant evil against me. He did not water it down. He knew that his brothers meant evil against him. He recognized that he was living in an evil world and there were evil things that would happen to him. And I asked this morning, are you aware that you live in an evil world this morning? Are you aware? If you're not, take a look at the news once a little bit. Don't look at it much, but just take a little bit of look at the news. If we don't live in an evil world, then I don't know where you're from. We live in an evil world. There are evil things. There are evil people all around us. Evil things will happen to us. We live in this world. We are not part of this world. And I believe that God puts a hedge of protection around his people. There are times he takes it away for whatever reason. I don't know what it is in your life. But trust that if you are experiencing something, that God allowed it to come to you. That's the providence of God. Joseph said, I am not God, therefore I cannot control the circumstance of my life. Therefore, I don't know everything there is to know. Therefore, you will stand before me on the day of judgment. You will not stand before me on the day of judgment. It's not me you're going to answer to. It is for God to forgive you. Next one is that I believe that God is a sovereign God. He says this, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but what? God meant it unto good. For you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good. He understood that God was sovereign. He understood that he was a sovereign God. Number four, I believe that God uses his sovereignty for my good. I believe that he uses his sovereignty for my good. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God uses his sovereignty for your good? You are in God's heart. You are in God's plan. It is for you that he does what he does. You are in his plan. You're in his heart. He loves you. He cares about you. You might be here this morning, you're thinking, how in the world can God care for me right now? With what I'm experiencing, with what I'm going through. And I want to assure you this morning, there is no greater love that anyone on this earth can demonstrate to you than what God demonstrates to you. And he allows you to go through things to draw you to a place of coming after him, wanting to do what's right. See, he allows us the freedom of choice, but he puts things in our path and in our way that might prompt us to make the right choice. Not to become bitter, but to make the right choice. So we have choices to make. And he does that in his sovereignty. God's ultimate plan for my life is to be a blessing to others. And I want us to look at verse 21. It says, now therefore, do not be afraid. And here is probably the most powerful statement that you will ever hear made on the face of this earth. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for your little ones. Wow. I'm saying wow. When somebody has done the wrong to me that those brothers did to Joseph, and I am able to turn around and say, I will take care of your little ones. I will provide for them. I will take care of your little ones. I have so much to grow in. I have so much to grow in. If I can come to the place where I know and understand in my heart that God meant it for good, and I get to the place where I can say to that person who has really done me wrong that I am willing to care for you and to care for your little ones. That's the challenge that I leave with you this morning. That's the heart of David. And when he recognized that God meant it for good, then he could say that. But until we recognize that God meant it for good, we will not be able to say, I will take care of your little ones. It's powerful. And this is what sums up David's life. God wants us to be a blessing to other people. He doesn't want us to walk around murmuring, grumbling, and complaining about what somebody did to me 10, 15, 20, a month ago. See, we're not effective, caring people when we do that. And he wants us to be those people that can genuinely say, I will care for you. I will care for you. But until I recognize that God meant it for good, forgive the evil that was brought against me. And the disciples came to Jesus and they said, how often should we forgive? He said, 70 times 7. And I don't think that was different offenses. I think that was, and I know I shared this before, but I think that in one offense, there'll be times it will come up. It'll come up again. You have to forgive. It comes up again. Have to forgive again. Comes up again. Have to forgive again. The same offense. See, we don't forget. We have minds. And it's only through the grace of God that we can come to the place where we can say, God meant it for good. You meant it for evil. Satan meant it for evil. But God used it to his glory. God meant it. He meant it for good. God meant it for good. That's the challenge I want to leave with you this morning. That as we one another, as we share together, whether it's in your home, your community, your workplace, here at church, that when we share together, when we function together, when we are around each other, we bump each other. There are times we need to say we're sorry. And I want us to be willing and ready to do that. As part of our covenant is to seek restoration quickly, to not let it go. Once we understand that God meant it for good, then we can do that. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. And we are going to have a fellowship meal this morning, so I will pray for the food. And the food committee will be getting the food ready here before too long and setting up in here. So I look forward to a time of fellowship together. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to fellowship together around your word, to partake of your word. Father, I pray that you would take the word that is spoken from your book, if there were any words that did not line up with your word, God, I pray that you would erase them. They wouldn't be remembered. But take the words from your book, Lord, and implant them in our hearts and our minds that we might understand and fully know and grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. As we go through this life, Lord, we recognize that there are so many places, so many areas that we are tempted, we are tested. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to be overcomers, that we would come out on the other end where Joseph did and say, we recognize that you're a sovereign God. And we do this morning, Lord. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We give you the glory because you alone are worthy of praise this morning. And we recognize that you are a sovereign God and that you are over everything that happens. And we want to wait in you. We want to walk with you. We want to stay under the cloud as the children of Israel did in the wilderness. We want to stay under that cloud, Lord, that you have prepared as a protection for us. So, Father, I pray that we would be able to be the people that you want us to be. I pray for the food this noontime. Pray, Lord, that you would bless it, that you would cleanse it, purify it. Thank you, Lord, for those that have taken the time to prepare it. I pray that our fellowship together here would be sweet. I pray that it would be to your honor and glory, and the things spoken would be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to lead us in song.